It's Sunday morning, January 26th?
24th.
Oh, Lord, that your goodness, your light, your love, the Lord, would be with us today. That your spirit would flow amongst us, that it would be your truth that we would breathe in, breathe out. Do that good work amongst us, O Lord, that we would be able to be citizens of heaven here. Citizens of heaven here today, O Lord, and that we would live and speak and hear the truths from heaven. That it would not be our own natural whatever. It'd be your spirit, your truth. Thank you, Lord, by your spirit. Amen.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Anyway, in Psalms 125, 126, 27, 28, a number of them here, it says a song of degrees.
A song of accents.
What did yours say?
ASCENT. 145. Your translation says a song of praise of David. Now, I don't know if that's a different way of translating whatever they translated the Psalm of Degrees.
What Psalm are you on?
145?
No, 125.
125, oh, okay.
Well, that would have been translated a little bit.
Yeah, that would have been interesting. Oh, wow.
Give me this one. This sounds like a little bit closer.
Well, 125 is a song for going up to worship. Now, there's nothing that says that that's right.
What about 126?
That's a song for going up to worship also.
Well, mine says a song of ascents.
Of what? What?
A song of ascents.
ASCENTS.
Yeah. Ascents, I guess. You'd
oh.
Say.
Oh.
A song
oh.
of ascents.
Well, that's going up to worship, I guess. Huh?
All of them say that in this whole area here.
So, maybe it's not the thing they talk about, you know. So, maybe it's something they sing when they go on up to the...
That old King James is always trying to create trouble.
Do you have any wisdom from Mr. Google?
Well, I'm looking. NIV is a sense. NLT is secure. Those doesn't even say songs. NLT says, those who trust in the Lord are as secure as Mount Zion. They will not be defeated, but will endure forever. So it just looks, kind of whips out.
Well, it says that it's the... It isn't actually in the psalm, it's the title.
Yeah, the title. Yeah, right.
A song of degrees in King James. A sense. Degrees. Trust.
I kind of like the idea of everyone proceeding up to the top of Mount Zion and singing along the way and have that be the psalms they sing.
I believe that I am the one that named this church Zion Christian Fellowship. I'm not positive, but I think I am. And it happened in prayer. And I can't even explain it. But Zion, the word Zion, is it's a valuable word in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And in chapter 125, It says, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abides forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, and I have this on a plaque, and verse 2 at home, I didn't even know where it came from until I just see it here. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth even forever. And in verse 3 it says, for the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth his hands into iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to those that are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel. And again in chapter 126, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Now there's a scripture setting, and I don't even know where it's at, but it said they were delivered from captivity when he turned the captivity of Zion. And it says, and we were like those that were walking around in a dream. You know what I mean? The goodness that they experienced and what they, whatever. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. And then they said among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. See, and the Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as a stream in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth in weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. In chapter 127, verse 3, it says, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. I got thinking about that this morning. not necessarily that verse, but there's a lot of questions, especially in this country, about when children are born, it's like they don't know at first if they're really a man or woman, or and somehow something develops so that they know for sure what they are. And it's a strange thing, but it seems to be that the egg would be the determining factor. And then it's fertilized, But maybe it isn't. Maybe it's a combination. Because a lot of, otherwise, how would a little boy be born and look exactly like his dad? And one of the examples for that is little Jonah. If they have pictures of Ben when he was a baby, and you can't tell which is which, they look exactly alike. And I think Angel has blue eyes, and the baby has brown eyes. It's about, it's like, what is a determining factor for the gender of a child? Huh? That's the end of my thoughts.
Well, it's kind of interesting. I was reading in Galatians. Do you know why we were able to come into the kingdom as Gentiles and be adopted as sons? Abraham.
Uh-huh.
Abraham.
Oh.
And the scripture, this is in 3:8 of Galatians. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed.
Oh, yeah.
So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. But it also somewhere, and I don't know if it's in Galatians, but it refers to that we are the seed of Abraham. Now that's not coming up with gentleness.
But I think that's by faith it says that.
Yeah. I mean, and it's not seeds, it's seed.
Yeah.
Because of his faith, we were all justified.
Yeah.
If we believe, you know. So, yeah, it's kind of, that's, I was thinking, you know, seed, but that's not referring to anything as far as gender. It's just
uh-huh.
kingdom of God, you know.
Sure.
But it is by a seed.
Is it 3:29? Galatians 3:29?
28?
29. No, 8. No, the second point.
Christ, all for the seed.
We are Abraham's seed, and their heirs according to.
Yeah.
Galatians 3:29?
Yep. Heirs according to the promise.
Interesting, because, you know, the Ishmael is also Abraham's seed, after the natural.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it also says, this is in the fourth chapter of Galatians, I'm not sure what verse, that the seed of the bond woman, which is Ishmael,
mm-hmm.
shall not be heir with the seed of the free woman. And But he could be heir if he gave his life to Jesus.
Yes, that's right. Amen.
At that point, we're all the same.
Yeah.
I saw a little title in YouTube of it said the Church of Christ is growing in, or something in. Iran or somewhere. Anyway, I was saying that evidently there's a lot of conversions going on in what's the religion called?
The Muslims.
Well, in Muslims, but in
Palestinians.
No, in the, what's the religion called? It's the
Islam.
Islam. Yeah.
Islam.
So conversions from Islam. But I think, yeah, I thought it said, I don't know if it said Arab or Iran. So that part I'm not sure about. But that, I didn't read it at the time. But
well, I believe there is a powerful radio or TV Christian ministry in that part of the world. But
yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some of them, not. God's no...
there was a revolt in Russia yesterday.
A revolt?
Yeah, or Putin, they want Putin out. They want that guy released that they poisoned. They put him in jail when he came back just a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So they want him out. They want him. There's all kinds of unrest and people being arrested just like.
I mean, isn't that just limited to the United States?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a new day.
Keith, going back to the business about Zion, and the scriptures there, Psalm 125, 126, and the name of our church. You know, it. I don't know if we planned it out, but... Zion does, I mean, it conveys the idea of continuing aspiration to go higher in some spiritual way. That's
yeah.
And that's
yeah.
You know, again, I don't want to toot our horns too much, but that is what we are about.
Well, it's a strange thing that we have that name, because I know I had something to do with it, but I can't remember. It's been too long.
You know, I didn't want to create a little thing, but I was under the impression that it was Joanne.
It was who?
Your wife, Joanne.
It could have been.
But she might have, because you might have mentioned it. So I don't know how that, but I remember her kind of making a fuss about she really thought that was at one time. But
however it was, it really hit a note with me, whatever or whoever.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's a strange name. You know, you don't, if you want to be first in the telephone book, you don't use that name.
Right.
And
frankly, if you want to have people forget your name, you go that way.
That's a good name to use, yeah.
You know, again, in the natural.
Whatever years, I've run across that a lot in the Word, and it always struck a note with me that it seemed like it was showing characteristics of where we were at, right. You know. But I don't want to put a lot of weight on it, you know, or anything. But it just, because there's probably lots of others that fit into it also. But you know,
well, it's I think. There's a Zion that's a holy mountain. It's considered a holy mountain.
Yeah, well, we want to get up to a higher place.
Yeah.
And we always have.
I thought there was a reference to some kind of people, too.
Yeah.
But referring to some, you know, I can't think of what.
Yep.
That's used now in a secular sense for anyone who wants to return to Israel. You know, that's Zion, and then how greater Israel.
No, I was referring to some.
Oh, in the Bible?
In the Word that referred to a people.
I had a good talk with Angel yesterday. She stopped, they bought a little bigger car so she could get the kids, all the kids in it. And anyway, and she said that what is going on over here is phenomenal.
Going on over where?
Over here with the kids.
Our church.
But they have another building down in the basement. And they have quite a few people that are there.
Yeah.
And she said, even no matter how they were when they started, the conversation is becoming more and more spiritual and godly. And of course, she's she listens to the scriptures like we do. And even her husband, she got him listening, and Ben is doing really good. And but anyway, I was encouraged by it. I thought, good, good.
I was just thinking. I think there's as many mothers involved in that as there are us in this church.
Yeah.
Well, I remember one time, my boss, when I was working, he was a Catholic charismatic. You know, and he, I don't know if I was having car troubles or what, but he gave me a ride home once. And he said, gee, I'd like to go in your church if I could, you know. And I said, well, okay. And I brought him in here. And he had no particular reason for thinking it was, you know, he wouldn't have much of any reason for having positive feelings about the church. But he said, boy, I really feel the Spirit of the Lord in this place. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if somehow or other, and you know, who knows what goes on in the spirit realm, but I wonder if somehow or other there isn't an abiding Spirit of the Lord that is here. So if people meet here, spiritual things happen. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think you're right.
Well, I don't know. Maybe. So, you know, if good things are going on over in that other building, then,
yeah.
The Angels have kind of set up a dwelling place or something. I don't know. There's no question over the years, some wonderful, wonderful things have occurred.
Yeah.
Few bad things too, but
yeah. We don't want to talk about those.
No. And it's a learning experience.
I not overly spiritual, but an interesting little thing that I discovered this morning. I was doing a search on Zion and how often is it mentioned in the New Testament, and Zion's used, comes up a lot. It's nearly 200 times, and my little app only gives me the first 25, so I was wondering if it's used in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, and they talk about it. The most important use of Mount Zion is in Revelations 14:1. The interesting thing is, in the King James Bible, they don't say Mount Zion. They spell it Sion with an S.
Oh, yeah.
And I've never picked up on that. The New Kings has got it as Zion. And most translations, so it's kind of like the King James Bible has this translation, and they all know it's wrong, but they haven't bothered to, they just kind of let it ride. But it's, the scripture says, and...
Oh, first verse.
Yeah, first verse 14:1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Sion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written on in their foreheads. You know, so I just had never picked up on that, and we were talking about Zion, and it's interesting, the translation.
Yeah, you're right. New King James is with a Z.
Yep. Yeah, pretty much everybody says that except the King James. Kind of like, yeah, they got it wrong, and everybody knows.
And it's funny because I'm sure they have a Z in all the Old Testament, right?
Oh, sure.
In the King James?
Even in the King James, all through the Old Testament, they get it right.
Yeah.
So it was just highlighting that and going, that is odd. I mean, I wonder if it's one of those little things to kind of throw you off path, or. But it's. Was corrected later on. New King James. But the concept of what Zion is, I think, is really, really important. You know, the chosen ones looking for the Father.
That's the whole setting right there. I don't know. It's hard to interpret that setting of the 144,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just seems like such a small number, you know, that...
It means something that we don't get.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get it, you know.
Yeah.
And then it's all, you know, it's all filled up by Jehovah's Witnesses, too.
Yeah.
So
yeah, once they reached 144,000, then they didn't know what to do.
Right. And it's not really saying that in this setting. It's just had them there.
Yeah.
You know.
But there were 12,000 from each of the tribe, wasn't it?
Yeah. 12,000 from each tribe.
Which would sort of leave the Jehovah's Witnesses out.
Yeah.
What they slip a few of those into the
Yeah. No room for us.
Yeah. You know, I was reading in the prophets, because I want to make sure it's the one before Malachi. but there's other two, there's Zephaniah and there's Zechariah or something. No, not. Zechariah. And in there it mentions there are two witnesses too. But it just refers to them as standing on each side of the Lord in heaven. And I'm thinking, what's going on? There's got to be a connection somewhere, someday. You know, where God puts it together. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe not. It's like
hard to think that there's not a connection.
Yeah, I mean, because it's...
Yeah, we just playing or groping around in the dark, though.
Oh, sure.
With that. Sure. Now, that's not to say that light can't come, and we won't be groping around in the dark anymore.
Yeah.
Well, it is good to be groping around. It's also good to realize that's what you're doing.
Well, yes. Yeah.
You know, I mean...
You don't want to pretend you know what's up when all you're doing is groping.
And you can't stand back and say, well, I can't make heads or tails, so I'm done. Yeah. You know, it's...
You're right about that.
It's kind of interesting. What are you doing? Well, I'm hoping to learn more. What have you learned so far? Not a thing. Very, very little.
No, you are right. You shouldn't give up on it just because you're, you know, and... I think that's something I personally need to hear.
I'm saying that to me.
Yeah.
It's like, we don't understand this at all. Mm-hmm. Well, that doesn't mean we're not supposed to be trying to understand it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that we should have an expectation that we will. It's just that we should be trying.
Yeah.
Run that race.
Stumbled on an interesting area in Zechariah about, I am zealous for Zion with great zeal. With great fervor I am zealous for her. Thus says the Lord. I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the City of Truth.
Hmm.
Hmm. There you go.
You know, and that is...
City of Truth.
Yeah.
That is... That too is us.
Yeah.
You know, or at least us at our best. You know, seeking to return to that place. Not that we're talking about returning to where we were in the 1980s or whatever, but...
No.
Seeking a thing, which is what the Jews that had been in captivity were doing. You know, it was longing to be back in Jerusalem.
I looking at myself, not and knowing that I wasn't always walking in the truth. But as I look at my makeup, I don't know, at any time that I didn't want to walk in the truth. I wasn't in it, I had some goofy things, but I wanted to, you know what I mean? And I think that's maybe you guys as well. It's like, I can't remember where I didn't want to. And the revelation that's what God wants started coming to us, it was major.
Amen. I never thought we didn't want the truth. What we have learned since then is we were going about getting the truth the whole wrong way.
Yeah.
That's kind of, I mean, I always had a grand plan. I want the truth. And then, well, how'd you get the truth? Well, the way we were trying to get it versus the way we need to be getting it is just so different.
Well...
Who's leading the teaching? Yeah.
There was a major wake up call that morning when I heard the voice, and it, because then all of a sudden I realized that you can't get it from people that don't know it. And the only one that knows the truth is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I have to make a correction. It doesn't say the two witnesses standing beside. It says, these are the two anointed ones who stand beside the Lord of the whole earth. But it's all in reference to the golden lampstand, and the two olive trees are by it, one at the right and one at the left, and the olive trees are
reference back
referred to that other in, what is it, Isaiah or one of the places. So, anyway, I did quote that wrong by saying witnesses, it's anointed one.
Let me just say, I've told this before, but I'll tell it again. At the time that there was a, you know, I was upstairs in the other building back over 40 years ago, and there was an altar call there, and I was on the edge as to whether to respond to it. And I was somehow made to know that, well, if what you want is the truth, then, yeah, go on up. Now, I had a choice. I could have said, no, there's these people are just a little too odd. I got some other priorities. but it wouldn't have involved the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, now, Corky, what you say is correct. There have been plenty of errors in the course of the journey, or whatever you want to call it. But we'd strayed from the golden path, you know. But I do think that, I think, first of all, I certainly didn't recognize it at the time, but I think it was the Holy Spirit that I was responding to. There was, and secondly, now maybe it was talking about a long-term journey or whatever, But I think my choice to respond to that altar call was a response to go with the truth.
Yeah, I think probably I can't say why they're referenced to truth, but the one truth that kind of most of the church sort of has is the fact that there's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ.
Yeah, there was nothing,
Yeah.
So there's different levels of truth in that.
Yeah, there's a lot of truths that are all involved to come mm-hmm. to the same place, more or less. So, I think a lot of truths just stops there and goes, yeah, that's the only truth you got to know.
Yeah.
Well, look, the Bible is full of truths that we never even had least and they're glorious truths. They're insights into God. And it even says that, it says that through Jesus Christ you would have knowledge of God. And I read that this morning.
It may be that the Lord took me up on a whole lot more than what I had any intention at all of agreeing to at the time I got up and responded to that altar call.
Yeah, but he knew.
He knew
your path.
Yeah. I thought I was doing this one, fairly, certainly important thing, but, this one kind of start-out thing, and he said, oh, no, he went up. Let's give him the whole deal. Or, I do know it was a mighty odd thing for me to have done. If I happened to see a Billy Graham crusade on TV and saw all these people streaming up to the front, I would have thought that was so ridiculous, the dumbest thing anybody could. Look at that. And here I was doing the same thing.
He does that. He's done that a lot to people.
Mm-hmm.
Where they never thought, and all of a sudden, there they are.
Yeah.
I know for I remember one time I pretty much, I think, stood and more or less cursed God. You know? In my real youth days. Good days. And, well, in my mind, I thought they were good days, but yeah, weird. But the crazy thing was, you know, this is where it gets crazy because, you know, it says the word of the Lord never goes out, never void. So even as a little kid brought up in a Lutheran country German church, evidently I was hearing enough because I always had a concept of God. You know, I never, and the message of Jesus Christ and born again wasn't there, you know. But I had that foundation that got stuck in there somehow, and never, because then, you know, when I finally got to where I was in AA and my higher power was right away, it was God. And then from there, he took me to the truth, you know, eventually. But so that, even, and in between there, my teenage years and early adult years, you know, I was not any, just was so far away from being a Christian, you know, or anything. But he overlooks all that. I mean, you think if he stood in fear of God, he's going to do you in, you know. I mean, you know. But how many people have done that? He just, you know, God's God. You think that really bothers him? I mean, in the sense that, you know, you're not going to hurt him by it.
You're saying you've read enough of the Old Testament to say you don't really want to do that?
Yeah.
Don't pull on that tail.
Like, but that's because, see, he always sees the person way, way, way better than they or anybody else does. So
mm-hmm.
their heart, you know. And what's within it, and he knows what's going to become.
It's funny, my own story is just about the opposite. I didn't know and I didn't care. And if I had an opportunity to be in some place where they're talking about God and an opportunity to know and not go there, go someplace else, I'd have gone someplace else. I didn't have.
Well, I was that way during all that time in between. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Same thing. So-called honeymoon, went to Daytona to watch some motorcycle races. And
I know somebody else who did that too.
Yeah, and so while we were down there, we went with a group from my AA group, you know. So nobody was drinking or anything, but I mean, we were down on walking, I think by the beach or something, and there was some, I think they were Youth for Christ, I'm not positive. But anyway, some young people would come up and talk, and we're trying to witness, you know. And, oh, yeah, no, that's good. I got a higher power. See ya. You know. But those little things, there was that. And it's funny how he just drops little droplets in along the way, you know. Now, why do I remember that? Well, because now I know why and what they were doing, you know. And my brother-in-law, and two brother-in-laws actually, made statements to me that I never forgot. The one, he said, I think this was at Christmas too or something. Well, there's only one way.
Mm-hmm.
No? Well, yeah, okay. And it wasn't too many. Long after that, a year or two, or I don't know how long it was. And my other brother-in-law gave me a book. And so, yeah, crazy stuff. How he gets to you. I'm glad he did.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad he did.
Yeah.
Well, I had a a problem that probably most people have or had. And the problem was I had too much confidence in the flesh.
Yeah.
I didn't necessarily have a lot of my own. But I was the one that saw the great Don Burnett. And I introduced him to the Hartleys and the Ferdians and everybody else. And I saw him teach the Bible study, and I thought, this man's got it. And, you know, in the beginning, I think he did. But I had lots and lots and lots of confidence in the man. And so when I heard contrary things or whatever it was, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't accept it. There had to be something wrong with the story, you know. And what happened 20 years ago was a removal of that thing. Hmm. You put no confidence. Paul said it. Says right here, he said, we are the circumcision. Circumcised in the heart is what he's talking about. Who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. And on that day, the confidence in the flesh left. That was a start of something good.
Mm.
And after that, I said, no confidence in him or any radio minister or anybody else. Put the confidence where it belongs in the Word of God.
Yeah.
And that's been a major thing, major eye-opener, not only for me, but for my, those that I have talked to over the years.
You know, the first commandment is to have no idols before you. And we can sure make people an idol.
Oh, yeah. And I did.
Mm.
I did. In strange ways. Even people like Win Worley.
Yeah.
You know, put a lot of confidence in the pigs in the parlor and all these things that he wrote. And what he do about it?
You can have confidence in idols like songs. You can have idols
in the ministry,
in preachers. You can have idols in the law being the idol. You know,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I was reading, and that's a reference it makes is that, well, all of a sudden you went back to having this day mean something and this means and this season and this and that. He said you've gone away from, you've made gods, mm-hmm. of them, of those things rather than just to come to the true God,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
where you start. And mm-hmm. I think he brings them back. I feel like he brings them back because,
mm-hmm.
But he's exhorting them that they were starting to go back into the whole circumcision of the flesh, thing.
Yeah.
That's in Galatians.
I think there are ways of being wrong about the Bible and making it as an idol, and let me explain. Sometimes I remember when we were doing deliverance, we would put the Bible on someone's lap or chest, Well, the Holy Spirit does not inhabit the Bible in that kind of way. So there is something special about the physical object there,
Yeah.
Now, I don't know, maybe the demons screamed even though we, but I think they were trying to fool us.
Yeah, I never thought about it, but you're right.
But that's not the way that the Bible is true.
No.
You don't want to make it don't want to make the Bible an idol in its physical form.
I often pray with Keith and ask that the Holy Spirit will take the printed word and turn it into the living word of God.
Yes, amen. That's it.
And
that's
the way
I think you could take it with the knowledge of that. And then I think it would have an effect.
Possibly.
I know
you don't want to make any hard, fast rule on it.
I know what you're saying, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't just take it. It's like a prop.
Yeah,
you can't make it a prop.
Or whatever. Yeah.
You know. But you can say, hey, the words that are in this are the word of God, and they are truth, and that's what we're standing on.
Right.
But, exactly.
Yeah.
I know we did a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah. You know, you put a cross on a chain and then have it around your neck, you know.
Yeah.
Ball players do that. And on the one hand, you know, I guess it makes a good witness, to be where your heart is. On the other hand, to make that thing some, like a relic.
Yeah.
They used to, back in the Middle Ages, they used to have these chunks of wood that they say came from the cross.
Yeah.
And they were supposed to have some mystical powers.
Right.
You know, and first of all, it didn't come from the cross, I'm quite sure. On the other hand, you know, even if it did, which
yeah.
But you don't want to do the equivalent thing with the Bible.
Well, you know, in a way, we were talking about idols, so you see people make a cross, you know, and they highlight that setting, but then they make it out of 24 karat gold and pound all these jewels in it, and all of a sudden it becomes a thing of value, and you've turned it into not a remembrance of Jesus dying for our sins, but you've turned it into a very rich,
which got a whole lot of value there.
You've turned it into an idol because you made it worldly valuable.
Uh-huh.
And you think about it, all through history, it's like, you know, it's a golden cross, and it's, you know, so if man just can't...
No, can't get it right.
Well, you know, on one hand, you go, well, you make it out of gold, and that's an important thing, so you're trying to...
Representatives of God. Right?
But on the other, yeah, purity and all, mm-hmm. There's a lot of things about gold isn't a bad thing, but... The other hand, you turn the symbol into something to be coveted,
uh-huh.
And kind of miss the point of the whole thing.
Like the cathedrals.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
look at all the money spent to do that. To have a house of worship. Well, you know, God was anointing people that for a while in this country when they were having revival meetings, sitting on straw bales,
mm-hmm.
on the field.
Yes.
You know?
I said, man.
The tent.
Yes.
You know?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. You know, what Jesus said to the woman at the well, mm-hmm. She asked him, is it on this mountain or is it in Jerusalem that we should be worshiping? And his answer was good. It was, you worship, you know what, now what? It's got to be, there's nothing, no place or anything. It's worshiping in spirit and in truth that
yeah.
is what it is. It's not. There's nothing.
Not the where.
It's not the where. That's right.
I think
not
we're still trying to learn what in the spirit and truth is.
Amen. Yeah.
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 In 1 Corinthians 11 in verse 28 it says, let a man examine himself. And then in verse 31 of the same chapter, it says, for if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And I had an experience the other morning, and I thought, if the end came, where do I stand? You know, where do I stand here? And anyway, I realized, and when God helping me, that I have a lot more love for the Lord than I thought I did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you shall love me with all your heart, all your soul, all your whatever else. And old age has helped me. else did I really care that much for? So I thank God for getting old. I don't appreciate having to use this thing that's making me fat, but... If I keep gaining any more weight, I'm going to have to go to Omar. You know who he is?
Something about a tent.
The tent maker.
Something about a tent. Well, you know, it is interesting. I mean, I respect what you say. There is some, as you get capable of doing less, doing everything with all your might for God in a way becomes easier because you're less distracted by the natural. So, in a way, that kind of follows. Not that that's, I don't know that we want to be, I think the hope, I think, is that we make those choices when we have the option of making other choices, but still.
Let me just say, I mentioned before the tape was on, but I had my PSA was measured last Friday, and it was low, lower than where the low number it had been low. It went down from 1.8 to 0.34. So, kind of seems to me, you don't want to be too confident based on two. Couple months, couple sets of numbers, but anyway, for a while it seemed as though, you know, unless the Lord intervened, the path was leading toward death, and you know, the shorter term than longer term, you know, or at least it was up there. I thank the Lord for the lower number, but you know that kind of brush with death, or whatever you want to call it, have the mortality be there within view.
Yeah.
That was good. That's good. That's good for me. You know, that good experience. Well, it's a little easier to say, you know, where I am, perhaps, I don't know. But it's good.
Yeah.
And, Keith, you know, you kind of, I realized.
Yeah.
You know, hey.
I'm cool.
The Lord is, you know, there's kind of a sweetness to existence that it's just playing nothing but the Lord and His, I don't know. Story would be a little less complicated if the numbers were going up instead of down, but whatever. Whatever.
Well, I tell you what, if we pray for healing, we need to leave room for it.
Well, that's right. That's right. No, it shouldn't be too shocking to
Jerome, even though he was healed of his kidney thing, he had heart problems, he had cancer, and in different places in his body, and he'd go to the doctor and he'd sometimes do something, sometimes they couldn't do anything. And he was healed. This and then that, something else. You know, I mean, of course, he had a lot of confidence and God healed him. And I think that helped with a lot of, you know. But the last time I saw him, he was even fatter than I am. Of course, I didn't wear this. I wasn't this big then, but
Charlotte, have they come to any kind of conclusion, or so what's up with you?
No, I see the cardiologist Tuesday afternoon.
Tuesday?
Yeah. I
Well, if the Packers lose the game, I'm going to have to try to figure out who's going to put us to bed tonight.
On that special note, let's wrap up today's
game.
We love you all.